Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of America's freedom-loving gun owners.
Well, you know what happened last week? Evan and Abby were passing through to do something for the holidays, and we got them to cut a show. And now today's Evan's live-action law seminar, and Abby got to cut another day of school, A, because she's a great student, but B, because Dad stole her thunder telling her story about the artist. So we have Evan in the house, and we're going to discuss a bunch of stuff. But the first thing I want to talk about is our sponsors, New Jersey Second Amendment Society, NJ2AS.com. Remember now, it's not tax-deductible if you make a donation, but it's only $35 a year, you cheap bastards. The next thing we want to talk about is they're really pushing hot and heavy with Operation Establish Compliance, but last week they made the news, StarLedgerNJ.com, because every Thursday, Steve, I Eat Too Much Cold Cuts Sweeney, is having a Twitter campaign where you can ask the Senate President anything you want, and NJ.com reported that the New Jersey Second Amendment Society overloaded Sweeney's Twitter feeds with questions, because we have a Twitter bot that
Ain't
sends
that
them out.
Sweet.
Overloaded him with questions, and basically Sweeney answered almost everything on Twitter, with starting it out with, well, I support the Second Amendment.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
But we need this, but we need that. So one more reason, is it not worth $35 a year to know that they're busting the Senate President's stones every
Absolutely.
Thursday?
Absolutely.
52 times a year?
Because it starts here, it doesn't end
Correct.
Here.
So NJ2AS.com. Now, we all know, a lot of people might not know, but one of Evan Knappen's great friends that go way back is Chucky Schumer.
Oh, yeah. He's really quite a friend, let me tell you.
Well,
Chuck is... we used to call him Old Chucklehead.
They just. By the way, there's pictures of him shooting MAC-10s and mini Uzis and everything, Chucky Schumer.
Oh, sure.
And Chuck Schumer just passed that. They got a law through the Senate another 10 or 30 year ban on plastic guns.
Well, the House passed it. The House passed? Because Schumer's trying to expand it to include so-called 3D printed guns.
Correct. Correct.
But
I need a 3D printer.
I don't think the Senate has moved on it yet. The House passed just a clean reauthorization of the old sunset law. Either way, both I think are problematic. I think we had the opportunity to kill it totally. I don't know what their fear is, really. The idea of an undetectable gun is nothing new. The Frankfurt Arsenal put out instructions. You can basically get it online anyway, showing how to make a .22 pistol strictly out of wood, just one little nail. Making out of wood, there's undetectable.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So what? You don't have to spend $10,000 on a 3D printer to make an undetectable gun.
Not.
I mean, the same.
I can't confirm or deny. At one point in my life, I had in my possession some pen guns.
Hmm.
It was basically a gun that took a .22 short with a little spring, like a little bolt action spring, and I fired it a couple of times. That worked great.
Well, the famous
sold them as
tear gas units too. But
but
the easiest gun to make in an improvised way is what they call the Four Winds shotgun, which is a slam bang shotgun.
Yes,
right. So you take two pipes, go over to Home Depot. One pipe fits inside the other. The end cap is where you glue the nail, which is going to hit the primer. You put the shell in one, and you slam it into the
Correct.
Other, and bang. It's called a slam bang. We used them in the Philippines. We taught the
Correct.
Insurgents to make these slam bang shotguns. So, you know, you can improvise a gun
very
easily.
What gauge pipe would that be?
Well, yeah, I mean, the exact size. The inner, the out, the one pipe. Actually, they also, I think, use bicycle frame, too.
Yes.
But it has to fit a 12-gauge, so whatever size pipe fits a
12-gauge
shell.
It's a 12-gauge pipe.
And then you get another pipe that goes around that pipe, and then the pipe that has a shell in it, like a trombone, goes up and down. The outside shell pipe that it's going up and down in is where you put the cap, and that cap inside has a nail, just glued in or screwed in. So when you slam back the inner pipe, the primer hits the stationary nail on the inside, and fires it. And they're called slam-bang shotguns. And the other called them four winds because after you used it, you just took it apart and threw it to the four winds.
Wow.
And the idea for the insurgents was to shoot the enemy in the back with the gun and take their good gun.
Yes, like a Liberator.
Right, oh, same like idea behind a Liberator, okay. Yeah. Only this was an instantly made one. You know,
so single-use type
sure.
of thing.
Right.
You know, what a lot of people don't realize is that guns, handguns, are in caliber and shotguns are in gauge. And the reason shotguns are in gauge, a little history, is because blacksmiths would make shotguns, smoothbore guns, and they used blacksmith pipe, which came in gauge. And that's why you have 12-gauge, 16-gauge, 20-gauge, 10-gauge, because it was pipe and not in a caliber, not in a different measurement. Right. A lot of people don't realize that.
And the
that.
Gauge is determined by how many balls weighing 1 pound
correct.
That
correct.
Are equal size.
Correct.
And that's why the larger the shotgun gauge, the smaller.
Correct.
Because it means more balls
more
that are
balls.
Smaller.
Correct.
Right. So, mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Knappen, we're going to start out with one. We talk – Evan Knappen's book, by the way, fifth edition, over 500 pages – five chapters on knife laws is available for sale at the Woodland Park Range and where else?
There'll
online,
Knappen.com? They actually have signed editions there.
You'll okay, there's signed
your,
editions.
Well, you know,
yeah,
that
you
brings
have some
me
that
up
are
to
signed
something
anyway.
Here.
I made sure. 500
here,
pages.
I brought you
brought me.
A first edition copy of
oh.
my book. And
wow.
it's a little outdated because it says only sold 1 million copies when it sold 2 million copies. And it's signed. And I expect reciprocity.
You will get reciprocity.
Because I want
I
a
love
signed
this.
My book is not done yet.
Book.
Your book, never offer your comb to a bald man.
Which is
I like
that's
that.
Appropriate.
Good
I agree
that's
with
really
that. I agree with that very much.
I think everyone
sold
2
million
to know
copies.
That.
And the
that's
new
awesome.
The next book that's coming out within a year is called Gun for Hire, Protecting Your Most Valuable
Calandro's
Asset.
Book.
You and your family.
We will, and I want a signed
that's
copy.
Nice.
You'll
I'll
get
you
nothing.
I will, see? All right.
Abby, you
you'll
can
get
have
nothing.
Two.
You'll get nothing.
Sandy will get nothing.
This is like the book club here. It's great.
It is.
Well, the new gun law book, let me just tell folks, hundreds and hundreds of man hours into this book with revisions, with updates, with adding in sections that have been demanded by the folks
everyone,
on
yeah.
knives
and knives.
Et cetera. So it's all in there. And it, like I said, it's 8.5 by 11. It's over 500 pages. It's a monster, but you know what? It's manageable. It is all by topic, and it's question and answer by topic. So that average citizens can read and understand. And let me tell you something. I was just a new article by our mutual friend, Alan Corwin. Okay, Alan Corwin
yes.
is an activist and a publisher and a great guy. And Corwin just wrote a fascinating piece, and I talked to him about this as well. He talked about, is it controversial to know gun laws? That's his piece. And what it means is, and here's what he's talking about. One of his books is on the international gun laws, mm-hmm. gun laws of the world.
Yeah.
Well, when they contacted Norway, for example, he gives an example, to find out what the gun laws are, they didn't want to tell them, and they said it's illegal for citizens to know the gun laws.
In Norway?
Illegal in Norway and other places as well. And you think about this. What does this mean, illegal to know the law? Yeah, because they don't want you to know the law. Because
so
you
might be able
right,
to circumvent
right,
the law.
Right, because if you know the law, then they think you're going to circumvent it, and you'll find a loophole, you'll find a pitfall. Let me tell you, my book is dedicated to circumventing New Jersey's idiotic gun laws, okay? And guess what? We have a First Amendment right to know the gun laws, despite whether the government wants you to know them or not.
Yep.
And so here... Yep. The one First Amendment freedom is still there. And if you want to know New Jersey's gun laws and you want to know how to work around these outrageous, insane, draconian gun laws, how to work around them so you mm-hmm. don't become a criminal,
yep.
well, knowledge is power, and that's what this book does. It gives you power to do the very thing that in other countries they make it illegal for you to even know.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And who
yep.
we had so countered the way we think, like illegal to know? Yeah. Well, look, King George, as Alan pointed out, you know, posted the laws on high posts so that you couldn't read them, so that he could arrest you and you don't even know what for. So they could have all these excuses for arrest. But here I'm thinking, isn't that outrageous? You know, even though we live where we live, at least they don't do that. And then I realized something. They do that.
They do
that. Did someone ever get a stool to
yes.
get
that,
it?
Because that's what they did. In New Jersey, they still haven't put on the application the prohibited person
that has guns seized
and not returned.
Yep.
And you're a felon. They keep it in surprise for you.
The
state police, 10 years now, still not on the application, want to keep you in the dark. Just like King George, Norwegians. Maybe the Norwegians
have
people. Hasn't changed.
That's what has
Don't
not changed.
Tell them the laws,
yes.
Because then you'll know how to protect yourself.
Yeah, God forbid,
and it exists
you will know how
here.
To do that. That's
yep.
right.
Absolutely.
You know, when you brought that up the last time you were on about how it cannot be an oversight. This has to be something that's absolute. Where you asked the question, is it an oversight? Are you that stupid that you forgot to put it on the application? Or is this intentional?
That's exactly. Because it's one or the other.
Yeah.
They're either incredibly negligent and incompetent, or it's basically a conspiracy to keep citizens in the dark and not know about it. There is no other answer that I can even think of. Even what possible reason?
One or the other.
One or the other. Yeah. Either they're negligent and not doing it, or they are intentionally not doing it. Either way, it doesn't help folks not to know about it, because it is a trap and it's being used every day. I have a case where the folks call me up. They say the county prosecutor's investigator, you know, persuaded them to just have the guns sold through a dealer and never told them. They become the equivalent of a convicted felon when they do it. You know, it's just on and on. So you got to know the laws, and Jersey laws are particularly egregious because the penalties are so draconian.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I have one new section in the book just on penalties. Even though we talk about the penalties, if you really want to blow your mind, just read the penalties section chapter where I identify every gun penalty and its severity. And you cannot believe that this is America, part of America, where it is this outrageous in penalty. And real people are getting hurt by it.
You know,
real people are suffering.
Good idea, Evan. Maybe we read one of those penalties every single week on the show.
Absolutely. Can read the penalty right out of it. I mean, just look at the penalty for simple unlawful possession of a handgun. It is a crime of the second degree.
Ooh.
You face up to 10 years in state's prison with a minimum mandatory 3 to 5 years in which you have no eligibility for parole. In other words, if you're convicted of simple unlawful possession of a handgun, which can happen by merely being the slightest bit outside of the exemptions, okay?
Having a stroke on your way to
the
range. The
best sentence a judge can give you, the best, is 3 years state's prison, no chance of parole. That's
nice.
Your best sentence right there from the judge.
Welcome to New Jersey.
Isn't that outrageous?
Coming to a neighborhood near you.
Right.
We will be back with more Evan Knappen right after this word from Evan Knappen. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against the state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And also available at the beautiful Woodland Park Range.
Yes, great Christmas gift. Listen, this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, W-A-L-D-R-O-F, Chiro.com. Waldorf Chiropractic in Bridgewater, New Jersey. He also has a Facebook page, Waldorf Chiropractic. His book, Chiropractic Can Help You. Yes, chiropractic can help you. Please support those who support us. He stuck his neck out, Pro2A, NRA instructor. Dr. Eric will give you a free scan, free examination, and everything if you come down and mention Gun for Hire Radio. Again, support those who support us. Now, Evan Knappen's in the house, and Abby's riding shotgun with him right now. I got a letter, Evan. Listen to this letter. We talk about – this is part of the learning segment, by the way. We're going a little bit out of order. I talk about the importance of having a lawyer before you need it. I talk about the importance of knowing as much knowledge of the law as you can. Last week's show, I talked about Fadi Haddad bringing your book to the Hawthorne Police Department to show them. Now, this week, this is the number two question I get after transportation laws in my 30 years in the gun industry. Hi, Tony. What's the deal with using hollow points in a home defense situation in New Jersey? I'm new to shooting and got my first gun, a Glock 22, in July. I've been told that a shotgun is the best home defense firearm, but until I can get one of those, I want to make the most of what I have. I disagree there, and we'll talk about that later. The reason I ask about hollow points is because I've heard that if you use them in home defense, the lawyers will tell you apart in court. What the F? I read the actual New Jersey statute, and it says hollow points are legal to have in your home, that it is probably a good opportunity to pitch Knappen's updated book, which I plan to buy next time I'm at your range, but I'd still like to get your thoughts on it. Love the Woodland Park location and your weekly radio show. You keep me laughing when it feels like the world has lost its mind. Thanks, John Mateschik. P.S. Feel free to butcher my name. I've heard them all before and won't be offended. So I love it. Evan, after the transportation question, the number one question I get is hollow points, because everyone who asks a cop or another gun guy, they say they're illegal. Settle it and tell everybody what's written in your book in English.
What he wrote in the letter is absolutely right. Buy my book and learn the answer. Thanks. I'm leaving now. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Boy, that was
here's the answer, and it truly is this. Here's what it is. And you're right, this question, and there's a reason why there's so much confusion over this. And that's because the law that prohibits hollow nose ammunition says that no person other than law enforcement persons or those engaged in activities pursuant to 39.6 subsection F can have hollow point, et cetera, et cetera. What the police rarely do is actually check and see, wait a minute, what are the activities pursuant to 39.6F? Because it looks like, in a quick read, that must be referring to some type of law enforcement activity. It's not. It refers to target shooting and hunting. And then, I'm sorry to say, but you actually have to read the entire statute and go down a number of subsections, and you will find an exception, an exemption that says none of this shall apply if you're in your home or dwelling, okay? It specifically exempts, and it exempts going from place of purchase to your home or dwelling.
It also exempts hunting, too, correct?
Well, hunting is the subsection F activities.
Gotcha.
So the bottom line for hollow nose ammunition is you're exempt from possession in your home. You're exempt for hunting if you're legal for hunting. You're exempt for going to the target range. And you're exempt from purchase from a dealer and bringing it home. So those are where it's lawful. If you're outside those exemptions, though, it's unlawful. And let me just spell out here the danger of hollow points from a legal perspective. You have to know the exemptions in New Jersey or you can be royally screwed. And it's that simple. And if you want to see this in action on hollow point ammunition, then I'll refer you to the Brian Aiken case. Because with Brian Aiken, a famous case that Governor Christie pardoned him, he was moving his guns while moving. He had his guns and ammunition. And this is where the judge in the lower courts basically screwed him over and wouldn't allow the exemptions to be read by the jury.
Correct.
We ended up getting a pardon of his sentence and filed an appeal. And the appellate court tossed all of his gun charges, tossed them, said this was absolutely wrong, it was in exemptions, the judge wouldn't read the exemptions, etc. But guess what they let stand? The hollow point charges.
You're serious.
And I'm going to tell you why. It's outrageous. Because the although there is exemption for firearm to transport it while moving, there's no exemption for hollow point ammunition while moving.
Oh, come on.
So the question now that we're raising in the court, well, what do? Leave it for the new owner? What do? I mean, at closing. It's broom swept. It's broom swept. And there's a case of hollow point ammo there for you and a fruit basket. Enjoy. Because I can't move the ammo because there's no while moving exemption.
And
that's enforced and convicted on Brian Aiken for doing that very thing. His ammo while moving.
Oh, man.
It's outrageous and wrong. And so you need to know the exemptions, and you got to stay within them. And if you go, don't think logic is going to win
can't
for you.
Make this crap
this is
off.
Absolutely true. Brian has suffered the penalty from it, and we're trying our best to reverse it. And we're on appeal to the Supreme Court on it. Hopefully, you know, it'll be a go. But I'm telling you, this is outrageous. It's outrageous, and our entire gun law here is exemption. Based.
Yeah.
It makes you guilty till proven innocent.
Right.
You've got to maintain these exemptions. And it doesn't matter that the exemptions are illogical and incomplete.
Correct.
It is absurd. And so, yes, hollow points are legal. Yes, you can have them in your home. Yes, you can load your firearm with hollow points. And yes, if you're justified in using deadly force, you can shoot the bad guy with those hollow points in your gun. Now, of course, once you shoot him, the bad guy is then unlawfully in possession of hollow points. He can be charged because there's no exemption for him to have them in his possession, and he can be charged, but you're good to go. Now, if there are individuals that don't want to mess around with the finer points of hollow point ammunition and its exemption, I would highly recommend the federal load, the full metal jacket expanding federal round. It's marketed under the name of Guard Dog. Guard dog, but it is a full metal jacket expanding. It performs like a hollow nose, but it is a full metal jacket. And
what
therefore,
caliber is it here?
My understanding, 45, 9, and 40, and there may be others. But look at the full metal jacket federal. The way they work it is it's a lead bullet, but in front of the, at the top of the bullet, inside is a rubbery polymer type gizmo, and the entire jacket goes around it, so it looks exactly like a full metal jacket, but the polymer inside makes it perform like a hollow nose. And actually, there's advantages to it because
it feeds
better and all that, right?
John Matasik, I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
Matasik. I hope that answered your question, and I hope you stop by to pick up the book. And this is why we tell everybody they need Evan's book. We have 30 people today taking Evan's live-action law seminar today. The next class is we have another one in February and then one in March, and they're sold out. And then the next one after that is April 9th, and there's only 8 seats left, I believe.
You better jump that, on these
right
now.
Is it April or May? May 9th.
I forget which one now.
It's
but
May 9th.
They're all selling
okay?
out. And what it does is it gives the opportunity to the person who attends the seminar. Not only do I get into depth on all the gun law stuff, and they're hearing it right from me, you know, 27 years of experience, 5 books, etc., we're getting into every detail, all the questions they've wanted answers to, and they're getting straight answers, not vague BS, stuff that is straight answer based on the actual law and my extensive experience in this area. They're getting real answers. They're really enjoying it. And then to top it off, you get to shoot for 2 hours with one of the top your top guys, right, Anthony? What is tell us about the background of your trainers.
Two instructors here, mm-hmm. Sergeant Bill Fearon, State Police, SWAT team, and Detective Sergeant John Uzzolino, Woodland Park and Passaic County, Abby shot with him today.
He's very nice, and he was able to show me all the different parts of the gun and showed me how to use the gun, too.
Yeah, we had Abby shooting some tactical stuff with my two SWAT guys while Dad was teaching the class.
She was having a good time.
These guys are the top of the top, and they're going over shoot, don't shoot scenarios where they're trying to take Evan's education, academic stuff,
and make it
practical application.
Absolutely.
And so you have Evan here. He's autographing the books, which is fine also. But what's really important is where are you going to get Evan Knappen for 10 hours and a state trooper and a SWAT officer?
Right.
$375, breakfast and lunches included, all beverages, range time and everything. And you're in here and he's asking if you have personal situations, my grandfather left me a gun or whatever. You know, you go to a lawyer, you're going to charge you $500 for an hour and it's going to be impersonal and it might be the wrong information.
Right.
This is the gun lawyer.
You're getting it firsthand and you're learning it and everybody taking it, getting tremendous positive feedback. And I really love teaching it. I love it. I look forward
to
these seminars. I really look forward to it.
Everybody that comes gets the powerhouse business card that we give out, the orange and black gun for hire and Knappen card.
Sack
on one side, silent attorney, and do not consent to a search. On my side of the card, it's the 2C code for transportation, which is the number one question.
Right.
So if a cop pulls you over and he says, you were supposed to have that gun locked or that case locked, you could say, no, officer, locked or fastened case. Number one question I get. So that's why we took the best range.
You had it this morning. Another listener came in and asked you that same question.
Mm-hmm. You were there. We took the best range in the state, the best training facility, and we have the best gun lawyer in the state. Put the two together, and there's the synergy. That's all you need.
It really is, and it's helping so many folks, and we're making a stand here that even in this anti-gun environment in New Jersey, this is a pro-gun statement of tremendous magnitude. We're teaching folks the secret knowledge. I mean, the gun laws that they don't want you to know.
They don't want you to know.
But once you know them, then you can work around them.
And they
but
don't then you want can, you
then
to
you
know
can,
them.
And I teach loopholes, specifically loopholes, pitfalls. I call them that.
Yeah.
Screw it. It's what it is. You know what a loophole originally was? I'll tell you. What a loophole originally was the hole in the castle wall, normally in the form of a cross, so that you could fire at the enemy and still be protected. Those are called loopholes.
Ah.
So even in the out west, when they build the cap with the shooting points, those were points that you fired out so you could still be protected, but the enemy could not get you.
Hey,
that's what a loophole originally was.
How appropriate.
That's why. That's right. So learn the loopholes, be protected, and still knock down the enemy. That's it. That's what we're looking at. And the enemy here is ignorance, and ignorance that flows even from the system, a system that's bigoted against gun owners, a system that has hatred for us. It's expressed by their laws. I mean, look at the laws, and you can see the hatred.
You're right.
You can see it. We are a repressed, suppressed minority that they're going after us. They're going after gun owners.
Right.
And in New Jersey, they think that we're just fair game. And that's it. And we're not. We got to protect ourselves.
We've said it over and over again. It's not the guns that they hate. It's us.
It is us
that they hate.
And every one of us, they can turn into a felon. Not only loses their gun rights, they lose ability to vote.
Right.
So they can go after their anti-constituency.
All day long. Yes, absolutely.
Right. And pass these things that have no effect on crime, and instead simply hinder and harm the law-abiding citizen. You know, when are they going to cut this game out? I mean, they've got to quit. But till then,
we have no idea.
Till then, you've got to be smart. You've got to know the law. You got to know the exemptions. And if you play the game smart, you'll avoid the problems. Absolutely.
Abby, feel free to interrupt Dad anytime you want, like he does when we do your show. Don't forget.
Well, you know, Abby brought up a very interesting point. I wanted to get your take on this, too, Abby, was the fact that you said that in last week's show, you were alluding to the fact that about the Hunger Games you were talking about, I believe, right? And you were saying that it is the government's oppression of us, that this is kind of like the secret message of this. Where do you see this all headed? What do you see happening in the future? If you could look into your crystal ball.
I see happening just like what we kind of talked about before. Technically, in the book, because I've read, I'm working on reading the third book. In the book, it says that's actually the future. It says it's once known as North America.
And once known as North America.
I love that.
That's what they called it. So that's what they told for the future.
Coming soon.
I actually see that being a chance.
Now, do you think that we're going to reach a tipping point where we're finally going to. I mean, look at the popularity of the show. Anthony and I joke about this all the time. When we first started this 3 years ago, we thought it would be Anthony, me, and Anthony's mother listening to the show.
And she's anti-gun.
And she's anti-gun. And voted for Obama twice. So that'll give you an idea. But her son was on. So at least, you know, his mom would be listening to the show. So we had one listener. And all of a sudden, it just became a force to be reckoned with.
It is.
To have three times the number of listeners than CNN has television viewers. And we're getting from all over the world. So this is...
Even Canada.
Even Canada. You hear that, Chris? So and we have a ton of listeners from Canada. A lot from the UK, too.
Yes. Right.
And... I'd really be interested from you guys who are listening outside of the U.S. And even in flyover country, as we call it here on the
they're going to get pissed.
Oh, they're going to totally get pissed. I'd be interested in where you think. Please let us know what it's like where you are. Let's give some perspective to gun owners around the world about what it's really like. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, I really want to talk about. Where do you think this tipping point is going to happen? Are we going to allow this like we have in New Jersey?
I'm going to read a letter from Canada when we come back, too.
Nice. Excellent. Let us know your thoughts, too. Where do you think this is going? Will we stand and take a stand against all this that is happening that's ripping us apart? We'll be back.
For many people walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We use marble and corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom. Keeping you informed of the threats to your freedoms with news, issues, and commentary you'll never hear from the mainstream media. You're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of America's freedom-loving gun owners.
Montville Office Suites. The website is montvilleexecutiveoffice.com. Facebook page is Montville Executive Suites in Montville, New Jersey, Ron Sousa. Fractional office renting, $59 a month, any service you want. If you're taking your business out of your bedroom, basement, or rec room, and you want to be professional, you don't want to meet people in a diner, and you don't want to be working out of your van or truck, check out Ron Sousa at Montville Executive.
Or if you're doing what I just did, sizing down and closing offices.
Correct.
You can do the same thing.
Because you didn't build that. Listen.
Because I didn't build that. That's right.
This is from Chris Smuda, snowed in the People's Republic of Canada. I want to let you know that the prescription pads arrived, along with some bonus gun for hire decals. The
so
decals,
people know what they're talking about. You sent him prescription pads.
I made up a real-looking prescription pad. It says State of New Jersey Firearm Prescription. Prescription form, we put the person's name. It says time for your shots with the signature. And we give them to people.
I like that. When, can I have one?
He writes a prescription.
Here, you can have the whole pad. 22. That's yours. You can have the whole pad. And what happened is people take that. And they bring it to gun stores, and they have our prescription, what gun they should buy or whatever.
They're wandering into local gun stores with a prescription for a Glock 22.
I see what notes Abby's going to be passing in school. Class. So teacher's going to be, what's his firearm prescription from Abby? Oh.
So he's going to start sending prescriptions to everybody in Canada.
Nice.
The other thing is, he listened to this, F you, Berardi. He wrote, thank you, Anthony, for pronouncing my last name correctly without coaching. You were only the fourth person to do so. Okay? How do you like that?
Do not encourage him,
Chris. He also wrote, I will let you know about crime in Canada after I do some research in between Christmas shopping and snow shoveling. Also, I was reading on NJ2AS.com.
And running from moose.
Yeah. About Operation Established Compliance and have realized that we have literally an identical problem in Canada. When I do up my crime research, I will explain the problem to you. There is some background information about how our firearms laws are set up that it will make this problem make sense. Thanks again. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Regards, Chris Smuda. I said his name right. All right. So go ahead, Evan.
Well, we talked before we took a quick break there about where's this going and where's it's heading. And, you know, it's interesting if you're an observer of this and are paying attention, you're seeing there's areas now where in incredible high tension, we're incredibly fractured in terms of our political. Look, the cooperation in D.C. is virtually non-existent. There's a tremendous amounts of discontent. There's abuse by the executive, which was just testified to by the professor. And what did that professor in the committee testifying about? What are the potentialities from this abuse and power grab? And he talked about overthrow. He's the one saying it. This professor in the congressional used that word and said, yeah, there's a risk of that here. There's a risk of it.
Isn't
and
that there a remedy in the Constitution that if two-thirds of the states get together, we can literally...
That's the thing that I think has left us, although he quoted Abraham Lincoln talking about that being the people's right. And in New Hampshire, by the way, there's a specific right to revolution. The New Hampshire state constitution, you have a right to revolution. And the idea of being rebellious is what America was founded on, right? But this was put out, and you know what? To suddenly hear in mainstream, because the media picked up on what this professor was saying, using that word and talking. I mean, it's saying that there's a lot of anger and discontent, and it is it's ratcheting. It really is. So you say, what could one spark might do? Now, as you point out, and I totally agree, there are so many non-violent things that still could be done. There's what would seem to keep America going is that we have the ability to amend things, change things, etc. So we do have an election, a midterm election that will be coming up. And as people get more and more frustrated from the economics and the lies and the inability for the government to do and for presidents to keep promises that they say
yeah.
blatantly over and over again and suddenly aren't true. Like, and when like you see nothing happening
you'll
here.
You'll be able to keep your doctor and your
right,
health insurance.
Right, all these kind of things, you know. And what happens, that builds up. Well, normally Americans express their discontent by the ballot box. And I, of course, want to see that. Normally. If in the midterm the Senate goes to the other side, goes to the other party, it'll be solely on the shoulders of the executive as to why that happened.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. And you know when a bill like Obamacare passes and the speaker says, "Well, we got to pass it before we can
before
know
we
what's,
can
in,
know
it,
what's in it." Yeah.
As one of the folks pointed out, that's the definition of a stool sample. Okay, I mean, you know, right? So that's what we're talking
about. You're
and
this
right. stuff is impacting yeah. yes. over, right, over and over.
Which is another
right.
definition
it's
of
another,
a stool.
Right, exactly, over and over. So this is what keeps happening. How many times can we accept that sample being laid on us? Yeah. You know, yeah. it's going to get expressed at the ballot box, and then we'll see change. That will hopefully resolve the people's frustrations.
If the borders don't open yeah. up and everybody right. gets granted citizenship and now you have right. 11 million
right.
new Democratic
sure.
voters,
mm-hmm.
which you know, I mean, this is right out of Cloward and Piven.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally to overburden the system, collapse it, and reset it as communism.
Right, and that's what they, and, right. And so if they can... If the Obamacare can fail, then they can get a single-payer system, right?
Correct, which work. Is where they're going to
so
begin
here's where
with.
You go, right, where are we heading with?
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
you look at this, and you look at this march toward socialism, essentially. But it's not so much, because Americans are generous people, and that, in a way, most Americans want to help those that are in need. I mean, generally, we're the folks that put the hand out to help, right?
We're the number one country
yeah.
for making donations for world disasters.
See, we're
the number one country by 70% compared. The other 30% comes from every other country put together.
So what it is isn't...
Okay.
What it is
yeah,
not
exactly.
necessarily the helping of others, which we all, as Americans, you know, excel in. It's
what makes us different. It's
right.
it's our core difference
right.
here.
You mean we're exceptional?
Yeah.
Well,
our
yes, president said we're not.
We're not, exactly. But
right.
this is what has always made us different. This is, you know, it dates back to the beginning. The people who have come to this country, or I travel around the world, and everybody, when they realize you're from America, say... Everyone here is so open.
Yep.
And the people I've talked to and employed mm-hmm. who are from Russia or from China, they can't get over how open and openly critical we can be of our president,
right.
of our where you would be killed.
You would be.
But de Tocqueville did
or
say...
Put
what,
in an,
was it de Tocqueville?
Obviously, you have a mental problem. You need
yes.
to go off to the asylum
yes,
for these things.
To be re-educated.
Right,
exactly.
Right, right.
Yeah, because... But wasn't it de Tocqueville who said that America is good... America is great because America is good? It's our natural instinct, our natural inclination to help one another. But that's being suppressed right now, too.
To a large degree, it is. And what's happening is government is substituting and trying to substitute itself
for the family.
For what is America's good nature.
Yes.
Americans
yes.
normally will be this way. We don't need government
no.
to tell us to help our neighbor.
Right.
But they want to impose it. And what happens is when the government imposes it and says you have to do it, then the other common American trait is to rebel against
yes,
that.
Exactly.
So
it,
when something we do normally, but if yeah. you're told to do it,
yeah.
you know, it's like, hey, here's some chocolate ice cream. You're like, great, thanks. You must eat the chocolate ice cream. Actually, the old one was, come the revolution, we will all have strawberries and cream. And he said, but I don't like strawberries and cream. Come the revolution, we will all have strawberries and cream. Okay? That's what we're talking. That's the difference.
That's right.
All right? So
that's right.
this is why,
that's
you know, right. we don't like it jammed on us.
Yes.
You know? And so.
I like strawberries
yeah.
and cream.
Right.
I guess we all kind of have to, huh?
Right.
Nappin, what, Evan, when we come back, I want to just know what's going on with the Pantano case.
Oh, I'll be happy to
okay,
fill you in
and
on
right
that.
To carry in the state of New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Well, just a few weeks ago, you heard living testimony of just how effective a man-stopper it is. One of our listeners, a big, burly male nurse, used lipstick bodyguard to drop a knife-wielding attacker to his knees. The would-be victim went home unscathed that night. His attacker? Well, he had to be taken away by ambulance, crying like a baby. Be sure every woman you know and care about is protected this holiday season. Give her the gift of power. Lipstick Bodyguard is the best force multiplier, short of a 45, you can get. And you can take it more places. They're made right here in America from exacting specifications, assuring you the most powerful formula allowed by law. You can get yours right here at the beautiful Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range or at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Evan's texting, smoking a Vepo vapor cigar that I turned him on to.
Yes, it is your fault.
And for whatever reason, I'm getting a contact nicotine high over here.
Evan, what is going on with Right to Carry in New Jersey? After Operation Establish Compliance, you know, this is the number one thing. Obviously, we still have Christie for maybe another 2 years. And who knows, we might have Sweeney or somebody as a governor. So we have 2 years to, and the Supremes, you know, we're one heartbeat away from losing the Supreme Court. Absolutely. And Obama, I think in another year or two, is going to use Obamacare and Middle East turmoil as a linchpin to say that he needs to run for a third term.
Yeah.
Remember, you heard that here from me about a year and a half ago, too,
Okay,
so what's going on with Pantano?
Is before the New Jersey Supreme Court. It's the first time in 45 years they've reviewed Second Amendment issue as related, particularly in relation to carry licensing.
Can you explain the Pantano case for the listeners?
Yeah, Pantano. What it is, this case is a case regarding denial of a carry license for an individual who is absolutely otherwise 100% entitled to carry and needed it for, he's just a good businessman and needs it to protect himself.
And this and is because it, New Jersey is a law-abiding a May guy. Issue state,
right.
Which is the discretion
yeah,
of the...
Yeah, well, I call it a May not issue.
May not, that's yeah. very true. Yeah,
so what happens, it's not so much Mr. Pantano, who we respect greatly for wanting to pursue this, but it's really about the issue now. It's boiled down to an issue of, and this is it, it's not about Pantano anymore. Mm. It's about this legal issue. And the legal issue is this. The stumbling block, or I'll call it the blockade of our ability to carry, boils down to the phrase justifiable need. You have to show justifiable need. Which means what? Well, that meaning, that definition has evolved through case law, where anti-gun courts, all through anti-gun periods of time, I mean the worst anti-gun periods of time, have decided to interpret that in the following way. What they say is that justifiable need means urgent necessity. That urgent necessity is translated into a two-part test. The two-part test is, number one, you have to show that carrying a handgun is necessary for your defense and that you are subjected to, this is part two, you're subjected to threats of serious bodily harm or injury against you as a person. In other words, you have to show that you need to use deadly force before you need to use deadly force. And then you have to show that carrying a handgun is necessary to counter that deadly force.
So basically an autopsy report on yourself.
Right. After you're shot and killed, yes, after being mugged, you'll have an excellent chance of meeting that standard. But till then, it's the classic of the judiciary taking this term justifiable need and then saying we want to slam it to gun owners as hard as we can and not get see these things. How do we do it? Oh, well, look at the word justifiable. Oh, okay, that looks like justification. Well, what's justification? Justification is the legal term for self-defense. Well, obviously, the legislature in saying justifiable need meant to say justification need based on self-defense. What's justification? Well, the use of deadly force is justification. We commonly call it self-defense, right? But it's not. If you look in Jersey, it's justification for the use of force. So the court, in their logic, took justification, made that what needs to be shown for need, and requires you to show deadly force before you need it. And my question is, even if we're going to go down this academically dishonest path that it justifiable need meant that, well, there's this whole other part of justifiable need called non-deadly force, which is the mere appearance of a firearm. It can actually be pointing a firearm without ever firing it. Well, these are lower thresholds that are still under justification, but we're not going to consider those because carrying a handgun is only one purpose, right? Kill.
One purpose.
Kill. Yeah. Deadly force only. Yeah. That's it. So justifiable need is this thing engineered by the courts that created a definition that was not found anywhere in the statutes to put this bar there to stop it. And now what do you have? Well, you have this thing that happened that the courts never thought would happen, that they laughed at us about. They never thought a Second Amendment case was going to come down where the Supreme Court would say there's a Second Amendment right that's an individual right to keep and bear arms. And not only that, you have the right to have that for protection for yourself and for hunting, etc.
Right.
They thought that would never happen. Well, guess what? It happened. They so much thought it would never happen that under Burton versus Sills, the old New Jersey case, they said, hey, there's no Second Amendment right in Jersey. And since the federal law doesn't apply back then when it was decided, there was no Second Amendment in Jersey. And they basically thought, let the Supreme Court make a finding. Yeah, that'll never happen. Well, it did happen. It did happen.
When was Burton versus Sills?
The 60s? Late 60s and the early, right. Late 60s, early 70s. And what happened was Burton created this situation where all gun owners in New Jersey operated on privileges.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it wasn't, you didn't have any rights.
Correct.
Everything was a privilege.
What about the typo?
Okay, so what about privileges? Well, it's gone. They're rights. So now the question is, when this case law developed defining justifiable need, there was no Heller. There was no right to bear arms. It didn't exist. And let me just go further and say New Jersey is uniquely suited and uniquely has a unique case pattern here, fact pattern, very unique, because in New Jersey, a carry license is not just about carrying for self-defense. New Jersey,
it's a license to have a hamburger after the range.
But not only that, if you look at handgun possession in New Jersey, what does NJS 2C39-5B say? It says no person shall possess a handgun unless first having obtained a carry license.
Right.
Carry in New Jersey applies to possession as much as it applies to carry. And the narrow exemptions, which talk about home or going to the range, etc., are affirmative defenses you have to prove.
You're guilty until
proven innocent. And the only way you get around that is if you can, quote, demonstrate need. What right in America is based on you having the burden of having to show need or you being unlawfully in possession till you prove that you fit a narrow exemption?
Can you imagine that applied to the Fourth Amendment?
Right, and then look at it in terms of that. Yeah. So what we have going up now is our challenge. And look, I'm not saying that the New Jersey Supreme Court is going to suddenly be our pro-gun savior and change. They may do everything in their power to roadblock it. But you know what this is, folks? It's real simple. This is the last step to get to the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Because whatever, if they don't go our way, then we ask for the United. And one of these carry license cases is going to get accepted by them, and it may be this one. And if that's the case, then this would be the best case the Supreme Court could take, because it's so outrageous in terms of the abuse that law-abiding citizens have suffered on their Second Amendment rights.
So tactically, do you think that they would maybe agree with you just to keep this out of the U.S. Supreme Court?
Who knows? Who knows? They might. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. Are they going to just try to be as anti-gun as possible, or are they going to try to resolve it to short-circuit being embarrassed by a Supreme Court? Or are they going to just be so arrogant to think they're not going to take it? And who knows? The odds are arguably against it, but one of them's going to go. One of them's going to be taken.
We have this case. We have the ANGRPC case.
Yeah.
We have a couple other states who are in line ahead
of us. That's right.
So somebody's got to give.
Right. And now's when we want it. Because some folks said, look, should have waited till we had a better court in Jersey or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, because you know what? Right now we have the majority in the United States Supreme Court by the one vote. And that could very easily change. So if we're going to get a case there and want to win it, now's the time. Now's the time.
Yeah, absolutely right. I agree with that.
What do we got left after this, Sam?
This is it, babe.
Come on, nap and talk the whole time. Abby, say hello at least. Your dad killed the show.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
My daughter's with
me. I feel bad about how this the slung shot was a typo.
Yeah. Because what do you shoot in New Hampshire all the time? Slingshot.
Yeah, they put slung shot in Burton versus Sills.
Yeah, right. But the good news is slung shots are legal in Jersey.
We just don't know what it is.
All you slung shot aficionados that like to have a little stick with a lead bag of lead, leather bag of lead, you're in good now.
Hey,
in Jersey.
Three of us ought to come up with a branded
slung
shot. I would like to see slung shot sales, a major increase in that.
Now you know,
I think it would be great.
Slung shot. Now you know the importance of having a lawyer before you need it. You know the importance of Knappen's book. Great Christmas gift. What's it, $65?
It's not it's 59.
It's $59.
Well, there's a reason I had to raise the price. It went to 502
pages. That's fine.
It's the size of a phone book.
It is, but it tells you everything you need to know in question and answer, man. It's not just giving you laws. It's explanations, question and answer on each, over 120 topics.
Listen, guys. Knappen's book is here. Knappen sold out until May 9th. May 9th, there's 8 or 9 seats left for the live-action law seminar. We have gift baskets here for sale. We have gift certs, gift packs, Build-A-Bear gift certificates, a ton of gun-for-hire swag that you can come down and check out. Masad Ayoub's class, all we have left is seats for the 13th and 14th. He is also exclusive to New Jersey. We have seats in our prepper classes. Again, we also have gun cleaning while you wait for $25. If you get another member, another person to join, the member who gets them to join gets a $50 referral fee on their Gun for Hire account. And, of course, we had to break all the rules. We charge $5 for an FFL transfer, $15 for Nick's, $5 for the Woodland Park Range. If you are a member, beat that member perk, ladies and gentlemen. And my last flash of news is week 4, George Zimmerman still not arrested again.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and their license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, the great Abby Knappen and Abby Knappen's dad, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Please be safe for the holidays. Keep the firearms away from visiting guests. And if you're in the neighborhood and have a very strong stomach and would like to see this sausage being made, stop in at the Woodland Park Range around 1 o'clock on any Saturday. We'd love to meet you and talk to you. And if you like this show and want to continue hearing it, you can support the show by buying an I Will Not Comply t-shirt for $30. To help us defray the production costs, it's expensive here in New York. You can order yours by going to gunforhire.com and follow the link to the store. We love y'all. See you next week.